direct subcontractor to Huawei. It will take about 6 months because that's how Huawei works. And our presentation that we want to show is specifically on the, I think, 6 questions that were asked from us, or 7.
Have you had any discussions with Brawlers and KPMG from your side?
No.
Okay. I'm saying that because there is a letter that is from Brawlers.
Okay, we have no sign of that letter.
Can I finish? In this letter, Brawlers is indicating that they start by saying Brawlers Project Pty Ltd is a holding company and does not have any staff and does not place contracts. It is not clear why the letter is addressed to Brawlers Project Pty Ltd given the involvement of Boniso Corporate Solutions, as Brawlers Project Pty Ltd has had no direct relationship with Boniso Corporate Solutions. Given the reference by the Honourable MP to Boniso Corporate Solutions and Selfie, it is assumed that the Honourable MP is referring to Brawlers South Africa Pty Ltd, as a relationship did exist between Brawlers South Africa Pty Ltd and Selfie, which involved Boniso Corporate Solutions. Boniso Corporate Solutions was appointed by Brawlers South Africa Pty Ltd as a subcontractor nominated by Selfie to supply certain products and services that were due to be delivered in December 2015. Boniso failed to deliver in whole the required products and services in December 2015, and the part that was delivered did not comply with Celsius specifications. During the months that followed, Boniso attempted to remedy the non-conformances in the part of the product that was delivered, but failed to do so. Brawlers South Africa Pty Ltd was placed into liquidation on 11th March 2016. All delays in payments being made to Boniso by Brawlers South Africa Pty Ltd prior to the liquidation of Brawlers South Africa Pty Ltd arose solely as a result of non-conformance to Celsius technical requirements of the product supplied by Boniso. Celsius therefore refused to issue the required acceptance certificates in order for Brawlers South Africa Pty Ltd to claim payments from Celsius, and as a result, Boniso was not paid by Brawlers South Africa. This was in line with the contractual arrangements entered into between Brawlers South Africa and Boniso. Subsequent to Brawlers South Africa's being placed in liquidation, the Brawlers South Africa liquidator, Mr. Sean Williams of KPMG, agreed to pay Boniso the outstanding amount, as there was a benefit to the creditor in him doing so, provided that Boniso remedied the non-conformances of their products in order to enable Celsius to issue the acceptance certificate which would facilitate payment to Brawlers South Africa. Such payment being made by a third party on behalf of Celsius. The agreement made by Mr. Williams was based on Brawlers South Africa first being paid by Celsius through the third party, and thereafter Brawlers South Africa would pay Boniso. To date, Celsius directly or through the third party have not paid Brawlers South Africa, and therefore Boniso has not been paid from Brawlers South Africa liquidation account. Once Brawlers South Africa are paid by Celsius directly or via the third party, Boniso will be paid the outstanding amount. I trust that the above clarifies this matter. If there are any further queries regarding this matter, I suggest that this be addressed to Mr. Sean Williams, who is copied on this email. Regards.
We haven't seen that matter. We haven't been confronted with either by KPMG
Can you put the mic?
We haven't seen that letter. We haven't been contacted by Sean Williams or by Browns on this matter.
After the meeting that we had here in Parliament, did you take any steps to look into this matter?
Did we have a meeting with Boniswa at our offices?
With Browns?
Browns has not responded to our...
How are you resolving this matter? Since Brola said you have not paid them, but the beneficiary of the product is not Brola, it is SFC.
As explained in the last issue, the order has not come from us, it has come from Huawei. That's the third party he's referring to.
The invitation to this meeting was also for Huawei, who's not here. So the issue is, who is benefiting out of those masks that were put by, supplied by Boniswa?
We benefiting from it.
And do you feel that it's okay for you to benefit from a product that was supplied by someone who has not been paid?
We paid Huawei for it.
The manner in which the manner in which you are responding to this matter, this is my view. It looks like you are not interested in resolving it.
To the contrary, we got legal opinion on this. We've paid Huawei. Huawei has, and that's where the dispute comes in, they've paid Broles. But if Broles is disputing it, I can't get involved in a commercial liquidation as Nelson. If the liquidator says you will pay it, then I'll sit with the liquidator and Boniswa and we'll come to an arrangement. But we never placed the order on Broles, we placed the order on Wild.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that, first of all, the committee shouldn't expose itself to getting involved in terms of the commercial relationship that exists between a number of private entities. We can only use our moral suasion on this matter. We have no jurisdiction over these organizations. And I believe that, as I said, moral suasion is what we have at our disposal to try and get the parties to resolve the problem. But what is interesting to me is that the liquidator said that if Celsi is prepared to give the compliance certificates, then Brolas would pay Boniswa. But then what we're hearing is that the contract is between Celsi and Hawaii, not Brolas. So how does the liquidator have any right to ask Celsi to pay Brolas when its contract is with Hawaii?
Huawei.
So it seems that, you know, the people are talking across purposes here, and the necessary people actually need to sit in the room together. All five parties, because that's, you know, what is involved here, five parties. You've got Huawei, you've got the liquidator, you've got Brolas, you've got Celsi, and you've got Boniswa. And they're going to have to sit in a room until they sort it out, because otherwise it's not going to be sorted out, according to the current contractual relationships. That's my view.
Honorable Chance, I disagree with you when you say that we shouldn't have an interest in... We are not getting into the contractual relationships. What we are getting into is a small business who has not been paid in 30 days' time. And the small business approaches us we as Parliament have got a responsibility to make sure that the laws of this country are respected. That is our responsibility. And in ensuring that, we also need to identify where the problem is so that we can make laws that will prevent those problems from happening again. The company that is in the receiving end here is Boniswa. This black woman, that is the company that is in the receiving end of big companies. Boniswa said to us, I never approached Brawlers. It is Selsi who directed me to Brawlers. So, as a portfolio committee who's responsible for seeing to it that small businesses in this country survive and they are given space and they are not exploited, it should be in our interest to understand how the game is played out there, so that if there is a need, we then have to propose that certain laws be passed in this country to protect small businesses in this country. Yes, Honorable Chair.
I agree with you on that score, Chair, but I have yet to see any piece of legislation that is being infringed in terms of this contract or this series of contracts. There's no piece of legislation which says that businesses must pay their suppliers in 30 days. It doesn't exist. There's no piece of legislation which says that an organization can't appoint a third party to conduct business on its behalf through subcontractors. There's nothing to stop that. I mean, I'm absolutely on the side of Boniswa if they have been rendered an injustice. You know, absolutely. And I'm very much on the side of small business. We've investigated, we questioned the whole issue of vendor funding in the last meeting, which has potential for introducing anti-competitive behavior. And that in itself was claimed by CELC as being due to the fact that they couldn't raise funds in the open market to enable them to choose which suppliers they wanted. So the thing goes, you know, right to the issue of the way the economy is structured, not just to do with small business being paid on time. You know, this is a case study which actually needs to be picked apart in all its detail for the very issues that it exposes. And I'm not saying that the committee shouldn't be concerned about it. At a policy level, we absolutely should be, and we should be examining it and asking, are there any policy measures that can be put into place and recommended by this committee that can reduce the likelihood of situations like this arising again, which are prejudicial to a lot of organizations. But I still maintain that unless somebody has pointed out, can point out to us a law that is broken, we can only use our powers of persuasion, not our powers as legislators, to resolve the problem. I can see no basis for laying a criminal charge or for, you know, saying that you have broken the law. I may be wrong, but, you know, that hasn't been pointed out to the committee yet.
Is there anyone who said there is a criminal charge here? We said here, when we started this process, we were not talking about criminal charges. And portfolio committees don't deal with criminal charges. Portfolio committees look at what is wrong and how that can be resolved. But also, anything that is pronounced by a president, a state president, becomes a policy. Never mind the fact that there is no department that has picked it up to actually process it to a level of making it law in this country, which will then criminalize anyone who doesn't pay in 30 days. But it is a policy of the country to prevent small businesses from failing as a result of non-payment. And it becomes the responsibility of this committee to look at those issues and those discrepancies and arrive at a situation whether it is necessary for this country to make this a law to criminalize companies that would not pay in 30 days. So at this moment, we are not at that level. We are at a level of saying, this is what the president has said, and this is what is expected of you to do. How are you doing it? When Ericsson and Vodacom were here, they appreciated that they were here and they were learning. So, I don't understand why there would be an argument between two members of the portfolio committee instead of allowing the people that we have invited to put their case in front of us. I really don't understand why it becomes an issue of why we are involved in this when we have been involved in it.
Chair, I'm just questioning our powers, that's all. We don't have powers to intervene. We simply do not. I'd like to ask Monisa a question. The issue of the non-compliance certificates, that seems to be the reason that Bolaz gave for not paying you in the first place. Can you just elaborate on that, please?
Through you, Chair, actually I think SLC is quite aware. I gave them the certificate. I was not aware about the non-compliance certificate. They've got the documentation. In our last meeting that we had, I supplied all documentations that they have. Maybe they can confirm.
We got all the invoices, but the CAC completion acceptance certificate and all that, I think that was all submitted.
But there are no issues.
Well, Chair, from Southeast point of view as well, come out clear that there is no intention to see bodies or not having paid for the work that they have performed in the first instance. However, there's a process that unfolded contractually between us and our suppliers. And Celsi had paid Huawei for a work that they claimed for part of what their subcontractors do. Now, we are sitting in a situation where if the letter that we have not seen from Mr. John Williams, KPMG, says that if there is the necessary documents provided, then there's no problem. But I doubt he's saying that we, SLC, would be paying, because we already paid Huawei. So that is the matter that, as the appointed liquidator, he should have brought the parties together and saying this is the matter. And it's the first time that he has not written to us. I think if he had written to us, we would have come here maybe having taken several steps. But he has not written to us. He has corresponded with a company that is being liquidated. And we're not having any sight whether he's written to Huawei on the matter as well. So it's something that as a liquidator, we need to sit with him, because our legal counsel was saying this is a legal matter that we should be very cautious not to be committing to matters that we might not be able to come out of tomorrow. What does the ruling by the liquidator? And so to me, that we will need to sit with the liquidator, with Boniswa, whether Huawei will comply, since there's not reported here, it's another matter. But I think we are available, Boniswa is available, and if Rollers has written, we could sit there and provide our side of the story to the liquidator and see how we take it forward.
Yes, Chair. We did send a letter to Huawei through the CEO, Mr. Ali Wato. But she was invited on Monday. The reminder was sent also to the office of Huawei, so there was no response. The same date when the letters were sent to Boniswa, to Celsi, and to Prolas, up until I got an assistance from Mr. Mwale to get me the exact person who then in return sent the letter to the chairperson from Prolas. Yes.
For me, the issue here is Huawei is an international company, so to say. It controls everything. It brought the financier to Celsi on condition that Celsi would then give way to Huawei. That's the first issue. That's the first issue. The second issue is then the relationship. How Boniswa comes to the picture. Boniswa is approached. The relationship between Rollers and Huawei is facilitated by itself. Then at the end of the day, Boniswa is not paid. And Boniswa is a South African company, and Boniswa is a small business company. And I think that CELC coming here to this platform would have assisted in terms of policy direction. How do we use this as a case study, as this portfolio committee, to see to it how we protect small companies in South Africa? That is very, very important for me. And any member of this committee would say that that is not important, would then not be understanding the responsibility of this portfolio committee. The second issue is that Celsi enjoys the results, the service. Celsi is earning money out of what was provided by Boniswa. And Celsi, in my view, should be part of the solution and finding a solution as to if Celsi paid Huawei, then what happened? Where is that money that went to Huawei? Did it move from Huawei to Prolab? And between Huawei and Prolab, who has to pay? Because if Prolab left, they said they have not been paid. And for me, the issue is the parties are not talking. These parties are not talking to each other to try and resolve this matter. And a small woman, a small business woman owned company is suffering in the process. I appreciate the fact that Celsi has had a meeting with Boniswa, meaning that Celsi appreciates the work provided by by Bonis. I appreciate that. But what brought us to where we are is the fact that Bonis is not paid. And surely there should be a solution to that.
What we will do, we'll sit with the liquidator, because the PR, the official purchase order that Bonisa received, came from Brolas. The invoices that they submitted went to Brolas. So from a pure commercial law perspective, the money is owed by Brolas, but Brolas has gone into liquidation. Who they got the money from, whether they got paid by Huawei, what they did with the money, it's only the liquidator that can assist them on that. So I will set up a meeting with the liquidator and see if there's a solution. I, however, cannot pay twice. If we've paid Huawei, right, my shareholders will just rip me apart. I'm paying twice for the same service. That's a legal issue that I have. And on the second issue about policy on small businesses, I think as a committee, portfolio committee for small businesses, you should look at government putting a state-guaranteed credit fund in place for small businesses, because part of doing business is taking risk, right? And one of the things is Boniswa could have gone to credit guarantee and insured the risk with Brolas or with Huawei. And if there's a cost to it, it's expensive. But maybe as a committee, you should look at small businesses and put up a state guarantee fund that you protect small businesses that are on issues like this. That's a suggestion from us.
Was the hand this side?
Yes, I would like to just ask if Celsius happens to know, and maybe Boniswa knows, how many other small businesses have been hurt by Brolas' liquidation. I can imagine that there are a lot of subcontractors that are still waiting to be paid as a result of Brolas' liquidation, which happens all the time. There's a liquidation, and it just so happens that Boniswa has come to the portfolio committee, showing the initiative that it has to draw the committee's attention to this problem. But this problem is that by no means Boniswa's alone. Does Celsi have any information on the liabilities that are there within Brolas?
Chair, I think this is just the ears of the sequi, what they call it. It's just the point of the iceberg. There's a lot of companies. I know my wife's own little florist shop had the same problem. I mean, not we don't talk about money, that unfortunately they talk about, but the same problem where I felt still paid the contractor, my wife, delivered a service to this contractor and never saw the... So the contractor got the money. I felt still got the services, but my wife that actually delivered, she never received any money from it. So it is, and it's a huge problem, I think. And I like the idea of CLC, where government can set up a fund where we can protect small businesses. But I also agree with Celsi, there's no way that a company, even a company as big as Celsi, can pay double for services. I mean, it will open a can of worms. So we should have, the liquidator should have sat here as well. And I think if the liquidator was sitting here, we would have got all the answers. Because the liquidator must tell us what is the, you know, is she going to get 20 cents out of the rand, 10 cents out of the rand? Is she going to get it, anything at all? Because all those things is going to be, but that's unfortunately part of risk in business. Thank you.
No, through you, Chair. I think what happened was I sent the contract that we had with Brawlers, and the reason why the liquidator is referring to South Sea, not Huawei, the contract that we had, it was between, that we signed, it was between Brawlers, and in that contract, I think if you can ask your legal department to look at it, it's a contract between Brawlers and South Sea, it had nothing, there's no mentioning of Huawei on this particular project that I'm talking about. So I suppose that is why the liquidator now, he's mentioning that once he receives payment from South Sea regarding this matter, because just for this site that we built in Cape Town, on the contract that I forwarded, because we had a meeting, then I took a contract as what we signed between us and Brawlers. It was referring, Brawlers was always referring that it's a contract that they will pay us once they get paid by Huawei, no, sorry, by South Sea. There's no mentioning of Huawei, even though I understand that between them, maybe there was that structure, but for this particular service, it was between us, Brawlers, and Brawlers indicated on the contract that was signed that only when they're paid by South Sea.
Well, that introduces some different information into this whole conundrum. And is that an enforceable contract? Notwithstanding the agreement that Hawaii had with Cell C in terms of that supply relationship. If that is an enforceable contract, then the liquidator has some grounds for demanding money from Cell C. But that introduces a complication. I think the liquidator has to be fully aware of the commercial relationships between Cell C and Hawaii, and then between Brawlers and Hawaii, because otherwise the circle is not going to be square.
Also in the letter from Mr. Ivo Lazic of Brawlers, it says that through that party is in brackets. The issue of payment to date, Cell C have not paid Brawlers South Africa, and therefore Boniswa have not been paid from the Brawlers South Africa liquidation account. That is what the letter says. Once Brawlers South Africa are paid by Cell C directly or via the third party, Boniswa will be paid the outstanding amount.
By the third party.
It seems to depend on why we're here.
Third party is why.
So I've seen those pays.
They will be paid.
But that's the letter says they have it.
The letter, Brawlers says we have not been paid by Cell C. That's what the letter is saying. We have not been paid by Cell C.
Yeah.
And Huawei was supposed to be in this meeting to clarify this issue of the dead party is not here.
In the contract that has been signed, I was listening to Boniswa. Boniswa never mentioned Huawei. He only mentioned their company, Brawlers, and the Cell C. Thank you.
Chair,
I think that the committee can put some pressure on Huawei and Cell C and the liquidator to resolve this by, let me put it this way, ventilating the matter into the public domain. Within these walls, we're not going to achieve anything. We need to create a sense of shame and embarrassment amongst the people who have failed to honour their commitments, whoever they may be. And maybe the committee should empower the media secretary to do something. Write a letter, maybe you could do that, chairperson, in your powers as the chairperson of the committee. Make it a public letter. Because otherwise, anything's going to happen. They're sitting on their hands.
Now we are talking one language as a portfolio committee protecting small businesses. Honorable Kruger, followed by Honorable Mutel.
Madam Chair, yeah. Another point is, I don't know when this company went into liquidation. Right. If Cell C paid them after liquidation, and they, for instance, spend the money, let's say it was paid into this liquidated company, and they spend the money, that's fraud. That's fraud. So it depends on when did this company went into liquidation, and then if it was after liquidation, then that money was supposed to be paid into the liquidator's account. Because remember, that estate ceased now, because it doesn't exist anymore, it's in liquidation now. So there's a lot of legal implications which we don't have any information about. It all depends. I don't know if Cell C knows if they pay the money after liquidation, before liquidation. If it was a day before liquidation, and that company knew that they're going to go into liquidation, that's also fraud. So there's a lot of information that we need to know. And if it's fraud, I mean, then it's a different ballgame.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, this indicates to us that we are to do something in ensuring that the small businesses are being protected. It also shows that there's a lot that is happening outside there in terms of the treatment and the attitude maybe towards the small businesses. But I would also agree with the Honourable Chance about his suggestion that we are to take this outside to the public domain. I think that's progressive, I think.
I'm running short of voice because I can see the abuse of poor people and taking advantage of these big capitalist companies continue with their tendencies, which I'm happy because I'm supporting the idea of exposing these things. This is very bad, Jefferson. In 22 years in democracy, we're talking the language of promoting small businesses. Here are the other companies who are playing hide and seek. The other company said we paid, the other one said we paid. So it's like we're a joke with the parliament. Yeah, if you can be treated like this, it's a sabotage to the entire system of the government. Thank you, Chairman.
Okay. I think that I still believe that Celsi needs to share information as to whether they did pay how we paid the problems. Because it is the relationship, the way it is structured, that is disadvantaging this Boniswa. And we can't close our eyes and pretend that we can't see. But also it relates to to how it can be easy for an international company to just ignore the portfolio committee, not respond to the invitation to come and clarify matters, because the relationship is based on the fact that Huawei brought the Chinese bank to provide Celsi with money to do its business. I think that also needs to be dealt with. The committee has made a few suggestions. and also CELC is making a suggestion that the portfolio committee should maybe look at proposing the establishment of a state guarantee fund to protect small businesses. And there's also a proposal that the chairperson on behalf of the portfolio committee writes a media statement to expose this, which I think that it is also another action. But I think that if we will make another attempt to get Howie here and the liquidator of Prolab, because we need to get to the bottom to actually identify who the culprit is here, in terms of if CELC says they paid, then they paid. Where did that money go to? But also to follow up on the relationship, how the relationship was structured. Because Moniswa in a first presentation, they are saying, we did not know Prolab. The relationship between ourselves and Prolab was facilitated by CELC. And we need also to look at that. If these companies can direct their suppliers to work with other companies, there should also be some way of protecting that company. It can't be that I'm asked to work with him, but there's no way then. There's nothing that shows how I will then be protected. Because Boniswa said in their first presentation, there is nothing that was provided by Prolab as a service, except that we were told that we supply this service and then we issue the invoice via them. We then need to look at that also as to why Boniswa would not be allowed to issue the invoice direct. Why Boniswa has to work via Prolab and in the process then get hurt. I think that we would end this meeting at that and say we will make a follow-up so that we need to get to that understanding as to what informed this kind of a relationship.
On your last thing, why they had to go through Brolet, we discussed it in the last meeting. It's because Brolet is an approved third-party vendor with Huawei. And we started the process with Boniswa now to become an approved supplier with Huawei. That's what we've done after the last meeting. Because the only way we could pay is through Huawei, because they are our funder. So that was addressed.
See, in the taxi industry, there's what is called a long-distance taxi and a local taxi. The long-distance taxi doesn't operate in the space of a short distance or a local taxi. I think that there are lots of lessons to be learned if we were to just take that model of the taxi industry to protect small businesses. Because if we don't do that, then small businesses will always be disadvantaged, because the long distance, the highway type of, would always dictate and close certain businesses out. That's all that you can say.
Okay. Well, just say last word.
I was just thinking of it now. You know, sometimes when there's a third party or fourth party in this relationship between a service provider and the end user, it can also be part of fronting. So maybe we must also investigate if there was not a fronting situation here, because we all know how everybody feel about fronting in South Africa. I mean, so maybe it will be good to look into that as well. Of course, I've got a little feeling here, you know, my tummy is big, so I've got a lot of gut feelings in here. So one of them is, I think it could be a fronting situation. I don't know. But in any case, thank you, Matthew.
Can we move to Erickson and Nela? A few minutes left.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just for the record, I introduce myself. I'm Anthony Walter from Walter and Associates Attorneys. I'm a commercial attorney practicing out of Peter Maritzburg. It would seem on the problem that we've just heard about that a simple reservation of ownership clause would save a lot of pain. Unfortunately, it wouldn't help a florist, though. So contracts are all important to the subject matter of the present with Erickson and Nela. Madam Chair, I represent Nela Trading, CC, N-E-E-L-A, Nela Trading, CC. Committee may or may not know that Erickson are represented here by their Vice President, Mr. Govender. In July, for whatever reasons, Erickson terminated the contract agreement for the supply of managed services to the cell phone tower sites with Nela through alleged non-compliance. I had a meeting with him on the 5th of October. It went very well. They, however, conceded that that summary termination of an SMME's contract who relies heavily on that sort of turnover was arguably incorrect. Not that the reasons weren't correct, but that the process, there should rather be a consultative or remedial process involved. In any event, I have been involved with assisting Nela Trading on the contractual negotiations with Erickson, South Africa, and on the periphery of the technical evaluation and the health and safety requirements that Erickson would require. Now, I think we're already running quite late in this committee, and I think we can cut a long story short here. I have had discussions with Mr. Govender outside this committee room, and I think it's quite the norm for a committee like this to listen to disputes and conflicts and all the rest, so I'm happy to bring a resolution to the committee. This matter has been settled outside the room, and I think Mr. Govender is the Vice President of Erickson, and I have agreed that we'll put it on record. Madam Chair, if I may read out a couple of points of what has been agreed, and I have been instructed by my client is acceptable, and then ask if Mr. Govender would confirm that. May I go ahead, Madam Chair?
Sure.
Thank you. Between Erickson South Africa and Nela, it's been agreed that the new agreement for the supply of managed services, passive maintenance, will be signed here at Parliament outside this room by the Vice President and by the representatives of Nela, which reignites the contractual relationship between the parties. As part of that agreement, and as was a past issue, and I think we've heard a lot of it today as I've sat here this morning, they have committed to pay all invoices within 14 days, which includes any queries or query time involved, that being invoices by Nela to Erickson. In addition, and I think showing a lot of commitment from their part, they've agreed to pay out grant funding to Nela Trading to the tune of approximately 250 to 300,000, provided it's scheduled and justified. That will be done by the 15th of December this year, 2016. And the purpose of that is to upscale and capacitate NELAR Trading to comply with the technical evaluations and health and safety requirements that they are busy with at the moment. And I'll stress that that will include some of my costs as well. That being, as I have assisted NELAR to gear them up to this point. The fourth point of agreement is that they have agreed to expedite the technical evaluation and the health and safety assessments to, for lack of a better word, secure compliance with their standards by NELAR Trading by the 15th of December. Thereafter, they have agreed to issue a purchase order, which is a requirement of the agreement and it's part of the Ericsson process. It's a purchase order is a, not for a particular supply or a particular service. It's like a blanket order that NELAR Trading works off in terms of each time they receive a job request from Ericsson. And that purchase order would be issued on or before 15 December 2016 with a view to NELAR Trading commencing services to Ericsson by 15 December. Importantly to NELAR Trading, Ericsson have also agreed, and it's now been written into the contract additionally, that they are committed to graduate the allocation of full passive site maintenance to all sites that are on NELAR's site list, the number of cell phone site lists, cell phone towers that they tend to, as soon as the technical evaluation and health and safety compliance has been achieved. Why that is important, just for explanation, is that until now, NELAR Trading have only been attending to the generator and grass cutting work, etc., at these cell phone towers, whereas the full passive maintenance relates to all sorts of aspects, including anything like wiring, etc., at these sites. Those are the six key points that have been agreed, and we've agreed to, well, subject to what Mr. Govender may confirm. Obviously, the most important point being the signing of this agreement outside of these doors, outside of this chamber. I think subject to Mr. Govender confirming all of that, I'd like to commend Ericsson for coming to the party here. I'd like to commend them for the conciliatory attitude and the commitment to an SMME like this. This is an SMME from the south coast of KwaZulu-Natal. They've lost out on 5 months of work, and obviously what goes with that is a lot of jobs, skilled and unskilled, qualified wiremen down to unskilled workers. So I think, yeah, we can commend Ericsson for bringing that all back on board, and those people who were employed are on standby and will be re-employed immediately and have at least something there for Christmas. That said, Madam Chair, I'd like to hand over to yourself and all Mr. Governor.
I think, thank you, Chairperson, and to all of the Honourable Mayor. Excuse me, honourable members here. I think that it's been a real learning curve for us as Ericsson. I think that with all the endeavours and the efforts that we have put in place, sometimes we find ourselves, I wouldn't say bigger than ourselves, but we don't take sight of little things that are very important because of being overwhelmed by all of the bigger stuff. I think that with the with your assistance and the assistance of this committee, we've certainly come to a realization that the supporting of small businesses is important. But we've also not just have come to that realization, but for us to begin to empower them in the sense that where they do not have specific skills or they don't have certain capabilities, is that most organizations such as ours, we have development funds for small businesses. That's part of the BBBE charter for us to really do that. So we don't just want to talk about this, but what we really want to do is that we want to support businesses like NEVA, and there are other businesses that we'd support. Quite obviously, we don't have a bottomless pit of money to really do that. And the presentation that we really prepared for this committee today clearly indicates, and I'm sure you have it already, Madam Chair, that clearly indicates as to what funds have been allocated and what training has already been done for the SME sector, both the EMEs and also the QSEs. But I think that the manner in which we have amicably been able to resolve this is certainly what all parties concerned here. We're talking the committee, we're talking NEVA, Ericsson and Vodacom, although they may not be here at this point in time. We already sat down, we deliberated about it. Madam Chair, you were in the Vodacom offices where you actually listened to our responses. So yes, I think provided that we get the occupational health and safety, which is a requirement, by the way, from Vodacom. If NEVA Trading is not compliant, they cannot work on their sites. But we're accelerating that. And as has been already indicated, that we will certainly want to pay for that so that we can accelerate that. And there's some other training that we'd also pay for. So I will hand over to my colleagues here. If they want to respond any further, I could have left something out. So perhaps Mohammed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. Really appreciate the opportunity. But I think just to elaborate a bit on what Mr. Govender has mentioned, we have strict contractual obligations with Vodacom, and the aspect of occupational health and safety and security is fundamental and a material term of the contract. If there's an instance where either Ericsson or subcontractor breaches any of those terms, we immediately get assessed and we may be issued with a red card. The red card means a suspension of services, and the contract is suspended for at least 3 to 6 months dependent on the severity of the incident. So I think part and parcel of this entire process and part and parcel of ensuring that not only our own personnel and the company, and in fact our subcontractors to whom we subcontract to, that we are at the standard end of a sort of level where we ensure that we deliver on the service and we ensure performance. I think that's fundamental and key aspects that we have in the contract. It's an important aspect for us to understand. And for us to also deliver on. In terms of progress, as mentioned at the last committee meeting, we've solidified on our program, specifically on enterprise development and sort of small business development as well. And we've sort of plotted a path where we're going to increase that sort of level of commitment, and we've also taken that to our stakeholders and our shareholders in Stockholm, and we sold that internally within the company in the last 18 months. So it's a definite progression, and I think Ericsson, being what it is, and being part and parcel of the struggle in South Africa from a Swedish company. I think we've also spoken to Swede business, and we all coordinated and aligned in terms of how we should progress small business in South Africa. Mm-hmm. So with that, I conclude, and if that's to the satisfaction of Madam Chair and the committee members, then I think we can conclude this whole entire matter on a very good note. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Could we perhaps hear from NEVA Trading?
Madam Chair and members, we'd like to thank you all, the chairperson and the MPs. If it wasn't for you all, we wouldn't be where we are today. And if we did not come to the portfolio committee, we would have been with no jobs. Every employee thanks every single one of you. Mm-hmm. to thank Ericsson for coming to the party and agreeing to everything. As for health and safety, we did comply when we first started with you guys, and well, those are just the litigity that you have got now. So, thank you.
How many jobs have been saved?
About 20 employees.
We got four more after them. We got ladies, we picked up ladies.
We've got more employees waiting to start the maintenance with Ericsson. So once the maintenance starts, we'll be employing 10 more.
Okay.
And it'll be progressing as it goes on.
Madam Chair, yeah, thank you. Just to backtrack one step, if I may, just to make it clear that grant funding that Ericsson have agreed to put up, as I said, subject to verification and schedule, it's not to go out and buy a nice shiny new Bucky. Its primary purpose is to capacitate and get NELAR compliant with the technical evaluation and the health and safety. So what I'm trying to say is that compliance is particularly within Ericsson's power, if we can put it that way. Secondly, just call it the attorney in me. I'd like Mr. Governor I read out the six head points of our agreement. I'd like him to confirm it on record, please.
Confirmed and agreed.
Chair, can I just ask the last question, because I think we're on our way to the house. This health and safety procedures, do you as a small business think it's just a lot of red tape? Is red tape part of it? How do you feel about it? Do you think your company is now better off with a nice health and safety procedure file somewhere in your office? If you could just give us something about that.
No, in the beginning, yes, maybe we were said it was a bit of red tape because we were getting nowhere. But now, I mean, health and safety has to be followed. It safeguards all my staff. So I don't see it as red tape. It's beneficial to my company as well. So we are fine with it. Thank you.
Sorry, Chair, I don't want to delay much longer. I just want to ask Mr. Governor, that grant, is it coming from your BE Supplier Development Fund, or where is it coming from?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I would like to take this opportunity to thank Ericsson. You have demonstrated what we know Swedish companies to be. You received a lot of bashing when we first met, but you have proved who you are and how you understand the direction of this country. And I would really want to thank you for that. Each time you were invited, you came, and all the points that have been read out are good points, but most importantly, the fact that you are contributing to a development of NELA in terms of making them compliant. It's a very important commitment. And I think that without that, NELA maybe would not have been able to get back and get the contract. We should really acknowledge that. And also, to this committee, the department is new and the committee is new. So we are also learning. This has been a case study for us to understand what we are there for and how we should be navigating our way and assisting small businesses and the challenges. Both cases of Boniswa presented by Boniswa speaks about the challenges faced by small businesses beyond just funding that we usually talk about, land, access to land, access to water, but the real issue now, the small business is now operating, what are the challenges they are faced with? And I would really appreciate that we all met here and discuss this matter and not create any walls to say you are overstepping your boundaries, because without any case study, the very same portfolio committee would not understand its work and the magnitude of the challenges. I therefore thank all the members. I thank Mr. Walter, I thank Erickson, I thank Nila Trading, Moniswa, and Celsi. I am also hopeful that bringing you under one roof also presents an opportunity for learning from each other. The problems were not the same, but the manner in which they are handled is a learning experience for everybody. And I think that Celsi will also learn from how Ericsson and Vodacom resolved the problem with Nila moving forward. And I also appreciate the fact that Celsi is saying, we have met with Boniswa and we are looking at dealing directly with Boniswa. We should be appreciative of that as well. Thank you very much. I declare this meeting closed. Sorry. This is travel safely. We meet next year. Thank you very much.